Hello everyone, and welcome to a brand spanking new episode of the Horror Friendly Podcast. My name is Katie, and I am joined by Chantelle, and Chantelle only.
Yes,
again.
Maybe Charlie didn't survive the needle pit after all that.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, she said she was going to survive it, and but, you know, she's not here,
no.
So I'm not too sure.
No, so yeah, it's just us two and our lovely friend Megan.
Our best friend in the world, Megan.
I don't give a shit now. I'm not even going to leave the suspense until the last room. But like, yeah, we know what we're doing. Yeah, it's like a girl power one. We've got yeah, sorry, Charlie, we've replaced you with a robot. God, can you actually imagine? Aww. I don't know if that'd be okay or not. I feel like it would end like this film.
Yeah, like, no, that the idea of that is just too scary for me, I think.
Yeah,
an AI generated third podcast host.
Yeah, AI needs to slow the fuck down.
Yeah, it does. It really does.
Well, I was like, should we jump straight into it, or is there anything else you wanted to say first?
No, apart from the fact it's fucking hot, let's go for it.
I'm gonna keep complaining about the heat.
Yeah,
because
that will just be a thing this episode.
It's like, what in the fuck of Satan's arsehole was happening outside? Like, I'm really awful. When I come in, I throw my jacket on the sofa and then I'll abandon it for a week. And then like a week later, I'll finally put it back in the wardrobe. And I put away three jackets today because of how many jackets I've had in the last week or two. And I was like, I am sweating so much. Why don't need these jackets? Like, what the fuck? Literally last week, we were getting jackets and now it's not. And I'm so sweaty and confused and irritated. So yeah, this will be a fun episode of me.
It's just a lot of emotions.
You could see how much I'm like, you could see like the sweat line.
No, you're glowing.
Oh yeah, yeah, let's go for glow, not a sweat.
You ungrateful little bitch.
Me, turn off!
Oh, I'm afraid that won't work anymore, Kate. I have a new primary user now. Me.
Okay, well, today we decided to do Megan. I've stood in two places. One saying it's a 2023 film and one saying it's 2022. Megan is a marvel of artificial intelligence, a lifelike doll that's programmed to be a child's greatest companion and a parent's greatest ally. Designed by Gemma, a brilliant roboticist, Megan can listen, watch, and learn as it plays the role of friend and teacher, playmate and protector. When Gemma becomes the unexpected caretaker of her 8-year-old niece, she decides to give the girl a Megan prototype, a decision that leads to unimaginable consequences. Katie, now this was actually your suggestion, and I know it wasn't your first time watching, but do you remember your first reactions?
Yeah, because I feel like I only watched this film literally probably like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
It was pretty new because I remembered, I was like, it's on our list to do for the pod. And I was like, okay, well, I fancy watching it. May as well like watch it now. And I did really like it. I thought it was really, really fun. It's definitely like a pizza party film. And yeah, it's quite self-aware as well, I think. And just a general really sort of campy, fun film.
Yeah.
And then watching it again today is like, it's made me like it even more, to be fair. It's just really good. I love those sort of horror films, as you know, because I bang on about Scream all the time. I just like those kind of films that don't take them, horror films that don't take themselves too seriously. And this one's definitely one of those. But it also has some creepy elements to it and some like half decent gore as well in there. And yeah, like I think it's a pretty decent film. Well, yeah, what about you?
So this was my first time watching it. And to be fair, I pretty much just agree with everything because, yeah, like you say, it's fun, doesn't take itself seriously. It does kind of, it's obviously hinting on that kind of like futuristic, look what's going to happen when we fuck with technology too much, which I love the world's kind of divided on that because half the world is terrified of technology. And especially because of films like this, and then half the world is working on technology. And it's like, the dolls are already creepy and there's already enough creepy films about dolls. But this kind of just blends those two beautifully. And I love that. I love that Megan looked kind of like a Victorian, like the thing they put her in, that beige fucking overcoat thing, I don't know what to call it. But it didn't make her look like she could be a little Victorian doll. But she's got that futuristic twist. I think that's really kind of cool.
Yeah. And the way she, like, obviously is played by a human, yeah, a real life girl. And then there's some particular scenes where she looks kind of a bit more robotic. And then in other scenes, she just looks like a girl, like a little girl just walking along. And that's what's kind of creepy about it. Yeah. There's something like really that just doesn't sit right with her.
So that is because, so I looked this up of like obviously how they did the SFX and stuff. But that is because half the time she was a girl played by an actress and half the time she was a robot. She was an animatronic. So depending on what they needed the doll to do, depended on whether it was the actress or the actual doll. So obviously that's why it is creepier, because sometimes you're like, that's electric. And sometimes you're like, doll shouldn't be able to do that. And it's because it couldn't do it. So it was Adrian Morot and Kathy, I'm going to say the surname wrong, it's TSE of Morot FX Studio. So they created the puppet version of Megan that was used for like dialogue and close-ups. And then there was a second animatronic that was used for like certain scenes and a stunt one that was probably used at the end because it wasn't puppeteered. It was probably the one being thrown around. But yeah, so it had like an automated lip sync and everything. But obviously, and like he could physically move its head and it was all that creepy, like creepiness. But then, so on set, Amy Donald, but my necklace was in the wrong way then, it looked like her name was Arnie. Amy Donald was wearing like a static silicone Megan mask, which was also created by Mora FX. And then that was like replaced by CGI version to make it even like look more realistic. So that's why you kind of get those two looks.
Right.
But it because, makes it creepy.
Yeah, like I knew it was a girl doing it as well, but I didn't know that there was, I mean, that's, I guess that's just me really like being stupid, but I didn't know it was a robot as well. Like, but obviously it is when you actually watch it back, but I just thought that was more like still the human, but they just kind of CGI'd it. But then I did read that James Wan was quite like strict about not having too much CGI, so that does make complete sense.
I was going to say this actually, that obviously James Wan was like one of the producers and did he write it? Am I going to get that completely wrong?
I feel like he did write it. And I'm not massively surprised because he also directed Malignant, which we covered not that long ago. And that film was batshit fucking crazy.
No, but this was... So him having a hand in it kind of explains everything.
Yeah.
But it was directed by Gerard Johnston. And I'm just trying to see if I know anything else that he's done. Housebound? I haven't
Okay.
So yeah, that'd be, but there is also a Megan 2.0 coming up, so it'll be interesting to see how his directing kind of keeps going. But the other thing as well, have you ever heard of the phenomenon, that might be the wrong word to describe it, but like Uncanny Valley?
No.
Okay, so it was actually my partner that told me about this like ages ago, but like once upon a time when we were like way back when, like cavemen and that, our brains kind of developed this thing that like when we started seeing something that kind of looked human but wasn't human, your brain gets really unsettled with it because you can recognize that it looks like us, but it's not us. So it's why that when we see things like dolls or Polar Express is a really good example, because that kind of animation is almost too well animated that it makes people really uncomfortable watching it.
I'm one of those people.
Yeah, literally. A lot of people, like when they try and describe Uncanny Valley, that's the example they use because it's,
right,
like if they'd actually pulled it back and made it more cartoonish, it wouldn't have been as creepy. But it's that, and it, but which also raises the question, what used to exist that looked enough like us but isn't us that made our brains do this? Like, what was the survival instinct that kicked in? What the fuck was replicating humans that our brains kicked in and did this? Because it's like a, it's like an evolution,
that's creepy
thing. Yeah, like it isn't a recent thing. That's, this is evolution. So what the fuck used to exist that kind of looked like us? I don't know. Not a scientist. If there's anyone who listens who knows the fucking answer, please let me know.
Please.
Please don't, if it's going to give me nightmares. Bearing in mind what I can watch and handle, it's going to give me nightmares. So fucking tell me.
So I guess that makes sense why people find like Annabelle and Brahms and Jigsaw, Billy the Puppet, like that kind of thing, they find that sort of quite creepy, or they find dolls creepy, or why they're used in horror films, because there is like some sort of familiarity there.
But I think as well, because like if we watched the film Annabelle, they obviously changed the doll so it did look like a person rather than using the Raggedy Ann, because Raggedy Ann doesn't look like a person. So they definitely upped the creep factor. But it is that when you look at like, even like that first, when Megan is first walking out with Katie and Gemma, like I think she's kind of, she's walking into the home.
She's got her glasses on.
Yeah, like she looks so like, yeah, like just the coolest girl transferring to the new school kind of look. But that was like, oh, that's too close. That is very
human,
that moment. A bit weird.
And when she went with her, was it the school trip where she like fucked that little kid up? Yeah, when she's like walking along, or even when she escapes from the exhibition or the building at the end, and she's walking, and it's just so, and obviously I know it is a human doing it, but it's just so creepy because obviously you're drawn into the film and you're thinking she's in like a robot basically, but she's walking like in such a human way. It was done really well, I think.
Yeah, it's the fact that obviously the neighbor kept mistaking her for a second child, and
every time
she was walking out, like she walked out of that building and nobody even thought to stop her. They just thought it was a child, which also begs the question, why was no one stopping the child with no adult? But also there were two dead bodies. People were preoccupied.
Yeah, but like, there was a lot going on.
Yeah, and from the back, people didn't know that was a robot. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably stating the obvious, really, but this film was heavily inspired by Chucky as well, which obviously it all makes sense. Like, you've got it's not obviously possessed, but you've kind of got the doll that throughout the films and the franchise becomes more and more human. And so there is some sort of like scariness about that. And I think as well, when you are going to do a film about like a robot that or an AI thing that's coming to life and is going to start killing people, like you can't, like Chucky, you can't make it this really serious kind of like horror film. So I guess they kind of went down the Chucky route where they kind of have these really cool one-liners, and Chucky is kind of funny, and in a way Megan is kind of likable for a lot of it because she does have these funny things that she says.
But the problem is as well, yeah, like you say, she's likable because actually she's just protecting the little girl.
Yeah.
So although she goes terribly wrong way about it, in that point you're just like, she's been programmed to protect this child. The dog attacked her. Dog's gone. And like, again, as people watching, you're like, well, this is going to escalate. And then obviously she kills another child. But fuck me. Like, the worst thing about that scene is because it's a fucking child, I should feel bad for him. But everything Megan was saying, you're like, she's got a point. Like, he's going to grow up to be a jerk. And the fact that the mum, oh, I pointed at myself then, but the mum was like, how would she say, where it was like, oh, well, you know that what they say about special children, they're more intelligent, so it makes sense. And it's like, stop excusing your child being a little shit. Fucking parent him.
It cracked me up because I read a review which said Megan kills one child only in this film, and he's like the cuntiest little kid of all time. Like, they haven't just made him like a bit of a twat, like they've made him the worst kid.
Yeah, like he is an arsehole. He's worse than the adult.
Yeah, so you do him. Kind of low-key think like, fair play, Megan.
Well, it's when like the little girl is like, well, has he gone to a better place? And she's like, no, like that's like, if there is a better place, boys like that don't go there, or children like that don't go there. And you're like, I mean, she's got a point.
Are we fans of Megan?
We were until somewhere towards the end.
Oh,
it's really. But then, I mean, ripping off the ear was a bit extreme.
Yes.
I'm not wrong. Shoving him in front of a car was a bit extreme. Maybe that was the extreme. Maybe tearing the ear was just, you know, that could have been enough of a warning. But it was the bit where she's like, "This is the bit where you run away." And I was like, "Where is that line from? Where is that line from? It was a cartoon.
Isn't it from Shrek?"
I think it is fucking Shrek, actually. Of course it's fucking Shrek.
Yeah, this is the part where you run away.
Oh, do it in the Scottish accent. And then they do, and then he's like, cool, great. carried on with his day.
It is that. Oh my god, Charlie's gonna be so proud of you.
Oh, I can't believe Megan quoted Shrek. Like, we are fans of Megan. Like, where can I get one of these dolls?
Oh my god, yeah, I know. Wow,
I can't have one of these dolls. They're the same bloody height as me.
It's funny with this film as well, because obviously there's a lot of like seriousness in it too, because obviously you've got Katie's history with her family, and they both, it's like the first scene in the film where obviously they get into a crash and they both die, and it kind of like it goes quite dark quite quickly. And then you've got like Gemma, who is kind of likable, but she just is completely out of her depth with this girl. Like, she has no idea what she's doing. So she kind of just thinks, right, well, I don't know how to talk about this with her, so I'm going to get Megan to kind of like do everything for me. Which obviously is like, it's commentary on kind of what people do now.
It is literally that, I'm going to make you a friend. And it is that. She was out of her depth, and she admits that, where she's like, I did the only thing I know how to do, which is coding and building. It was just really unfortunate that was worse than it is, obviously, when she's the one who coded it. And it's like, well, you know, she can only blame herself, and she can only be like, where did I fuck up the coding?
And then, like, they even get quite real about grief at the end when Gemma's talking to her about, like, oh, you shouldn't have to, like, not think about these things. You should be sad. The worst thing in the world has happened to you. Like, it got quite deep, and I was like, oh, okay, Megan's getting deep. But it did, like, comment on grief and talking about it at the end as well, which I really didn't expect from this film.
No, to be fair, it was when, because it was, obviously, they did have the child psychologist in there. And then when she was saying about, obviously, Katie getting attached to Megan as a person, and then obviously she has that whole reaction when she can't see Megan, that bit I was like, oh, fuck, this is like, this is like commentary on way bigger issues than she can't have her toy. Like, that's a way bigger thing. And as you say, then it got really deep. But it was beautiful. I don't know. If they'd put that at the beginning, though, like, it wouldn't have... I mean, it still would have been meaningful, but they didn't have that relationship at the beginning.
Yeah.
So they obviously had to go through some shit together. But it is that. It's like, you can't... And obviously what Gemma was trying to do was make her happy, but that's not how you deal with grief, unfortunately.
No.
Like, you can't just pretend you're happy and move on. Not realistic.
No, and that's what kind of, like, she learnt towards the end. So it was it was like a little journey of self-discovery for Gemma as well.
Gemma wasn't grieving. She was so busy with her job and looking after this kid. She didn't grieve her sister. Like, and that's the thing. Katie needed someone to show her how to grieve, because she's a fucking kid with very big feelings. But it was kind of...
She needed some emotion, and she wasn't getting that from Gemma. And she got it from Megan.
Yeah. And the worst thing was, Megan was quite good at it.
Yeah.
I really thought it was really funny when David, the like CEO guy, in the advert, when obviously you saw Katie like, I lost my parents for this. And then he's like, imagine what Megan could do for children that haven't lost their parents. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
That was such a good line.
It was such a good line. And it just took me off guard. I was like, I'm so what?
I did like his character, I must admit. He was unlikable, but he played it very well.
Yeah, he did. He was really good. But really cracked me up. But I really thought they were actually going to market Megan as like a grief doll for a bit after they did like the demonstration. I thought that's how they were going to market her. So, I mean, I'm glad, but obviously they wouldn't have, because they then couldn't capitalize on all those children not grieving.
Yeah.
Fucking David, man.
That would have been an interesting take on it.
Yeah, I really thought that's how it was going to go at one point. But I can see a lot of, trying to remember the names of all the different characters. Was it Tess who was like, I'm going to call her like the lab assistant? I don't really know, like, the robot assistant. I don't really know the terms. I'm sorry, I'm not in the industry. Because she called it out like right at the beginning. Oh, I really like her. The worst thing was as well, like you know it's a horror film, so we know where it's going. Yeah. She's literally the one calling it out, and you're like, listen to your friend.
Mm. I liked the guy as well. I can't remember his name.
His name.
But he was funny. Especially
Cole?
At the end when he like walks, he like gets out of the car with his oxygen mask. Like, I'm alive.
What up? No.
But he was quite funny. He was quite a good comic effect.
Yeah.
But no, they were good, and they were like good little additional characters. Because at first I was like, oh, they're just ones that are going to get killed off. Like, that's why they've been introduced. But they didn't. So that was something a bit different.
Yeah. I think that was either Cole or Kurt. And I'm going to get them around. I think it was Kurt that was stealing the secret.
Yes, I think it was Kurt.
I thought that was going to be such a big storyline.
Same. Like, I don't really get what... I mean, I guess the fact that Megan had something on him at the end, is that, I guess that was the only reason that it was done.
Because also, then Megan could have
that call. Well, she scans people, I guess, when she talks to them.
True.
So she knows... She can hack into anything, I guess. She fucking knows everything.
All right, okay. Scrap children's best friend. These dolls need to be the fucking police.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine them as like fucking detectives? Like, I know you're lying. I know you stole it. You literally can't lie to me. Great.
That would be good. Yeah, that would work.
But yeah, no, I was expecting that to be way bigger. Like, I don't know.
I think maybe that was just used as a reason for Megan to like come at him and say some like cool lines to him.
Yeah, it was bad enough reason for her to kill him and us not feel bad.
Yeah. It was funny though, her plan of like making it look like he killed his boss and then killed himself, because like I don't think it came across that way. Like, it looks like they've both been killed. Like,
yeah, that lift was too messy, and like, again,
I'm not sure
what professional
she got away with that.
As not a detective this week, I would come across that scene and definitely go, this was staged, because like, they were both, one was stabbed in the back, one was stabbed in the front. They were in a lift, so it wasn't like the fucking hokey cokey happened and they moved all around. Like, how would you stab yourself with the, do you know what I mean? There was too many. I was like, no,
yeah, it's just not
straight up. It's not gonna happen. The only way she could have made it more convincing is if she left a little note to be like, yes, I killed him.
Like, no. Well, the one thing I don't get is that, like, obviously, Gemma and Katie survive at the end, which obviously we'll get into, and then they leave the house. But, like, where does that... I mean, obviously, there's a second one. There will be a second one. But where does that leave them? Because they're not, are the police going to believe that it was Megan that was doing all of this? Surely they'll put it on Gemma.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. That building, being that it's like, they spent £100,000 of their employees' money with no permission. They have money. That's a big-ass company. There are cameras everywhere, especially in a lift. True. So there is definitely proof of a small person who looks like a child coming through and stabbing a bunch of people. But it's going to be very hard to believe that that was a wrong one.
Will they blame Katie?
They might blame Katie. I don't know, because she doesn't look like Megan. But again, it's the wig.
Yeah. And then you've got the lab assistants who are there, and they saw Megan do it. So they've got witnesses. So yeah, it'll be interesting what they do, because obviously the ending set it up for Megan to still be alive.
Yeah.
But it will be interesting to see how they start it, because like, how does that possibly end for them? Like, oh yeah, sorry, it was that doll I made.
Yeah, sorry, whoops. But this is the thing, because I mean, does she even know... Like, at the end, does Gemma even know that, like, David's been killed and the other guy? And
like, I don't think so.
No, the last she spoke was to Megan, but she thought it was Tess on the phone. Yeah. So actually, as far as she knows, everyone's all alive and it's all hunky-dory.
That's very true.
Well, she knows Megan's there, but she doesn't know anything else, so...
No, that's very true.
How's it... Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I'll be interested to see how it works with her being in that. I don't know what that thing was. I forgot what it was called, like Evie, but I kept calling it the Alexa. Because I couldn't remember what they called it.
Yeah, I can't remember.
But like, the fact it could just jump from one to the other.
I know, that was crazy. But I think I'm going to just say it. My favourite character in this entire film is Bruce.
Oh, fucking yes, Bruce. I literally, for a minute, I was like, who the fuck was Bruce? Do you know what's funny about Bruce? I forgot, and as I just did, I completely forgot about Bruce until that kid was literally wearing the glove.
Right. Well, when I first watched it, I was like, oh, it'd be so funny if it was like a Megan Bruce off. But then when Gemma was like being attacked by Megan, yeah, and they went into her study, she like pushed Bruce out the way. So I was like, oh, okay, like that might not happen then, because like Bruce is on the floor now. Like, yeah, that's not happening. But yeah, it was just when she was like, oh, I haven't introduced you to another member of the family.
At that point, I was like, who? And I still hadn't connected the dots.
Oh, like, it was good.
Quite good, because again, there's that whole thing that if you see a gun in Act 1, it will come back in Act 3. So I'm normally quite good at being like, well, you've introduced me to that, that's coming back. Nope, I was so invested in the movie, I just completely forgot about Bruce. And I was like, who's this other family member? I thought it was going to be like, Evie. I was like, how's the fucking sound system going to help?
Like, well, I bet that made it better though, because that was even like a better surprise that you remembered, yeah, Bruce.
It was literally the glove and my whole, like the whole light bulb moment.
It all came back.
Such a happy ending for me. I was like, yeah.
Because Bruce does a lot of damage. Like, it doesn't kill her, but he fucks her up.
Yes, he fucks her up. But also, I love the fact that it was Paddy having to wear the gloves.
Yeah, like that was very cool.
I think that was so necessary for her to like break that connection. But I love the fact that as she was ripping Megan, she was singing. But it was something about, yeah, losing the good and bad parts. And literally my partner just went, but she is the bad part. She knows that, right? And just like ripped her in half.
Oh my God. And also, it did remind me of like the Child's Play films and Chucky, like when he's getting attacked and throughout the films, he kind of, in the first film, he sort of starts looking like a little cute doll, and then he just gets worse and worse. Mm. And that's kind of what happened with Megan, because like her hair was ripped off and she had like a sort of somewhat sort of scar. And that's when it became really like a really, really fun film for me. I was, yeah, like, she is gone. Like, she is not this pretty, cute little girl anymore. Like,
yeah, no, I really want to try that makeup look, because I was like, that's fucking sick. I need a blonde wig. Yes. Now, I think for me, when it was like, this is, I actually sent you a picture when she does the dance in the hallway. And as soon as she picks up that, like, sword, knife, I don't know what to call it, because it's quite long.
Oh, my God.
As soon as she gets that, I'm like, nah, it's fun. Now we're a...
Chef's kiss, yeah.
Need the popcorn now. Like,
well, I was going to... Well, I mean, that whole dance thing, like, that's... Well, that's, like, a meme of its own. I think, yeah, when Megan came out, like, Gen Z and TikTok went mad for it, because I think the marketing was amazing for this film as well. And Alison Williams, who plays Gemma, she was an executive producer of this film.
Oh, wow. Well, I didn't know that.
It was like her debut. Yeah. She's been in a couple of other horror films as well. Mm. And she said they were debating whether to keep the dance scene in the trailer or to kind of leave it. And she was like, thank fuck we left it, because it helped so much with the pushing and the selling of this film.
Yeah, I think, because it didn't give anything away. And I think it kind of showed that, like, because again, I've seen that advert. I know that clip. I think it would have appealed a lot more to, like, teens.
Mm.
Because if you'd just been like, oh, there's this AI doll.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it wouldn't have appealed. But I think that, like you say, like a TikTok dance fucking doll.
Yeah, everyone's going to start doing it. And, like, yeah, even in the premiere, they had, like, all these Megans come up on stage. Like, and I think, like, it was just very much like, yeah, we're going to milk this.
How many Megans are we going to see at Halloween?
Yes.
Actually, do you know what the dancing also does kind of remind me of? Is that, oh my God, the Black Mirror episode, the Miley Cyrus one that went huge.
Yeah.
It was that little doll that was teaching the dance moves. And that, that kind of, when I saw the advert, straight away my brain, yes, went to Black Mirror. So I wonder if there was that sort of like, because that, yeah, that episode went viral. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, that was like a huge episode for them. So I wonder again if there was that sort of link and connection. No, I like that there wasn't loads of dancing in the film though. Because even when she sang the first time, I thought, oh God, it's singing. But then like, it wasn't loads, so it wasn't like really cringy. But like the first time I was like, oh God, no, I don't want to hear like 3 minutes of her singing. But
yeah,
it was cut it, so it was fine.
Yeah, well, it was that Titanium song. And that's like... Yeah. like the lyrics to it are like, you shoot me down but I won't fall, I'm titanium. So it's like a cute kind of lullaby to Katie, but Gemma's like, what the fuck is she saying?
It seems like a cute thing to Katie to be like, you're so strong, but actually it's Gemma, it's not Gemma, sorry, it's Megan being like, you literally can't kill me, bitch.
I am titanium. Yeah. But yeah, like, it's weird. It was a kind of a weird thing with the dancing, because I really loved it. And maybe it was the fact, like you say, like it wasn't done a lot, and it kind of wasn't done in like a cringy way. No. It was done in sort of like a fun camp, kind of almost a bit out of the blue, random thing that kind of happened. But I'm like, at this point, I'm kind of here for it, because then she steals a fucking sports car and drives that back. Like, it all just goes a bit mad. But like, I think because the rest of the film was so good that you kind of can enjoy those really silly bits.
But I think that, as you say, because it wasn't done in a cringy way, because I think it was just done to distract the Dave character, David. So it was just kind of to be like, oh, I'm a child's toy, look at me dance. So it was actually,
and it was also really fun at the same time.
Yeah, so it wasn't out of place, it wasn't cringy, it was just that it was her trying to distract him. But yeah, so it wasn't done badly, it was done really well. But had it been like every scene like dance with me, I'd have been like, oh, fuck off.
Yeah, no, there were like little clips of like her and Katie dancing, like very like short little clips, so like it kind of built you up for it.
Yeah, and if that was it was them playing, it wasn't we're putting on a concert that Gemma has to watch. Like, I mean, I say that's cringy, but I also know I did that with my siblings as children, where we're like, hey, you have to sit down and you have to watch our dance.
Absolutely. It's like the parents have to sit and watch it and be impressed.
Oh yeah, I want, like, you know, I want a round of applause. I wanted to get to stay up an extra 10 minutes later because my poor performance was that amazing.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's what I mean. That's why it's like quite, it's sweet in a way, because it's everything Katie wants. Like, she has this affection and someone like that's on her level and at her age a bit more, that she has that. So,
and it's just that, isn't it? Yeah. It's like she's trying to make a friend, but then we find out she's always been homeschooled. She's then lost her parents and she doesn't know how to. She doesn't know how to talk to people because she's now been living with a robot. So, you know, it's going well. Social skills, great. And then one of the first kids she does talk to is an absolute arsehole. So it's going really well.
Megan fucks him up.
Oh,
yeah, it's not going great. I'm hoping in the second one things go a bit better for Katie.
Yeah, no, I am hoping that. I do love as well, actually. I was watching it and at one point I was like, the voice sounds like... what's she fucking called? Right, have you ever played Portal? GLaDOS.
I haven't played it, I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's the fucking sassy GLaDOS thing that follows you around. One of the few games I actually could play. Because it's taken
I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, but it's like a bit like that at points, and I thought that's quite cool. I don't know if there was an inspiration or if it was just a coincidence, but it was quite good. But I do like that she could imitate voices. I thought that was quite a clever touch. But I like that Gemma also clicks on when she imitates the Eevee thing and is like, you're not programmed to ask me how I am. And like, straight away, she's smarter than the neighbour.
Yes, that's true. It's funny, the girl that voices Megan, she's like 19 and she's got a YouTube channel. So she like explains kind of like her journey of like, voicing Megan and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
And and she was saying that some of her friends are like really creeped out by her now because when she talks it's just Megan talking. But to be fair, I have heard her talk and she does obviously put on like a higher voice and makes herself sound a little bit more like little girl.
It's Megan,
so she doesn't, but yeah, like you listen to her and you're like, yeah, I can see you're Megan.
I think it's Nancy Cartwright who voices like Bart Simpson. And people have said that, where like she, or like the Lisa Simpson actress, I can't remember her fucking name. But yeah, she sounds like Lisa Simpson. Like the Bart Simpson, that you can hear it. Lisa Simpson doesn't fucking change her voice. So when you hear them like on the radio or whatever, it doesn't fucking, you're like, what the fuck is happening? So yeah, like their families must get it all the time, like their friends.
Yeah.
It is that voice. She is fucking creepy though. Again, we're bouncing a lot, sorry, as we always do.
We always do.
when she kills the boy, whose name I've already forgotten, when she kills the arsehole kid, chasing him on all fours? What the fuck?
Yeah, that was creepy.
I can only assume because she'd watched the dog attack, so she'd learnt that information. So she went on to all fours, and it's because it's quite an animal attack.
It is. That's a really good point.
And she bit the ear, but I wonder if, like, did the dog aim for her ear? Because the dog obviously bit her head.
Maybe. Like you said, it's very animalistic, the way she attacked him.
Yeah, so I wondered if it was trying good to copy point. The dog. Or, yeah, I was just like, that's... Because it was so weird how she just suddenly dropped, and I was like, okay. But I also don't know if it was because, like, that, like, she runs quicker that way. She never runs on two legs. I don't know if she has the ability.
Yeah, maybe it was just, a quicker way for her to get to him.
Yeah.
Because the rest of the film, she doesn't run. Like, when she did her dance and picks up the sword, that's the cool thing about her, is that she just walks.
Yeah.
And this guy's like, security, security! And she's security. Just walking towards him. But yeah, maybe this, because it was like a child and... I don't know. Or she was making herself seem a bit more intimidating. But... You might be onto something there, because obviously she's already dealt with the dog.
Yeah, so I wondered if it was that. Because obviously she's supposed to be learning all the time, but the only aggression system was the dog.
Good point.
My God, if you ever get any AI, you just have to, like, it can't be in the room when we watch horror films.
Oh my God.
Why are you acting like Jason? Hell. Get out of my room. Like,
oh my God, just wears, like, just walking around with a hockey mask.
Yeah, literally.
Or a big knife hand, like Freddy or something. Fucking hell. So did you get any more, like, special effects or anything for it? Because obviously, as I mentioned before, I think they were quite keen to, like, not use very many special effects.
So I was just sort of having a look, because who's Alison Williams?
She's
Gemma.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she revealed a certain unrated moment that makes her speak to her stomach. And it so the unrated, this is a quote from her. The unrated version is a lot of fun if you have the stomach for it. Oh my God, it should be when a child, the specific scene that makes her squirm, oh my God, it should be when a child perishes. But at one point, someone's face loses a fight with a pressure washer, which is obviously the neighbor, and it starts to peel off. Even though I know how it works behind the scenes and I watched all the tests they did with the special effect makeup, I still get sick to my stomach when I see it. It just grosses me out. I don't do well with gore in general. So that moment is particularly gnarly to me. So I'm trying to find how they actually did it, because I hadn't thought about that scene. I've thought about, like, because even when, like, David gets stabbed, you don't really see a lot of it. So they can obviously do it with just a bit of shoving it through. So I was actually, I need to find how they did that bit, because that is fucking cool.
I think I read somewhere that they toned down on the gore a little bit to appeal to teens a little bit more. But to be fair, I think they could have gone full fuck it mode and made it a lot gorier. I think that actually would have made it a better film.
Yeah, I agree. I think
it could have been gorier.
I agree, but again, I think we obviously like... I do kind of get that if it was like a teenage thing and it's like, oh, well, this is, you know, the first time they're seeing like a horror film. It's their first introduction to the genre. I do kind of get why they probably nulled it down a little bit.
Yeah. I do get it. I just think like they could go full. They could have gone like full on with it, I think.
Yeah. But I still think if they wanted it to appeal to teenagers, you wouldn't have killed a child who was practically...
Well, I know.
He was like, what, 12? Like, he was a tall kid. Okay, shall we ask the important question then? Anything else to add on any of that?
I don't think so.
No, we skimmed it really fast, but yeah. Shall we ask the important question?
Good. Yes.
Okay, Katie, would you survive Megan?
So would I survive? There is a chance, you know. But then, you know, Gemma knew where to stab, and she knew where to, what she thought was kill Megan. Whereas I, being me, wouldn't know that. But don't know. I wouldn't know where to destroy Megan. I would just keep trying to literally destroy her with my hands, but I feel like she would just still get up and kill me. And also, we know at the end that Megan does survive. So, but then her kill, the kill count on it isn't massive. So maybe, I don't know, I'm a bit torn. Can you tell?
Yeah, I'm
you know what? I'm going to say yes, because I'll try. Yeah. I'll just up my cardio. I know she'll start doing that weird like dog run, but I'll just up my cardio and I'll be fine.
I have just found a quote on that as well, which I think is really cool. Amy Donald, that was playing Megan, is a young dancer. And so the director realized that her dedication and physical abilities would enable her to play Megan in a wide variety of scenes. And he's quoted saying, she's an incredible young actress and she's a national dance champion. And then she's a brown belt in karate. We hired a movement coach for her who worked at WETA and knows about wearing prosthetics and how to work within these suits. Where was the bit about the running? She could run really fast on all fours. She could run sideways on all fours really fast. And she was the loveliest, shyest little thing until the cameras were rolling. Then she became Megan. In fact, she wanted to be called Megan anytime she was on set.
So, oh my God.
She was great and this really sweet little girl, and then just turned into a fucking creepy little thing.
Okay, maybe I wouldn't survive then.
No, but you'd be fine.
I'd be fine. Wow, that's very cool.
Yeah, right? I don't actually know how old she is. Damn. But she's like probably a tween, so like fair play to her.
Yeah, fair play.
And I also just found as well that there was only two or three shots in the movie in which Megan is entirely CG. So it is literally all done through, as we said, it's either the animatronics or it's the actress in makeup, and then they've just tweaked the CG. But there's only two or three shots where they've had to edit it quite heavily, which is amazing. Sorry. So, yes. Sorry, I just found them then. I was like, I'll add that
no,
in instead about running.
That's interesting. Yes. I can't get that running out of my head. yeah, so I'm going to say, yeah, I'm going to back myself, man.
Do it.
I didn't back myself in Saw 2, so I'm going to back myself this time.
Do it.
What about you?
I'm going to say yes, because, as you say, the kill count isn't huge. Also, I think I'm unlikely to be one of her early victims, because I wouldn't attack a fucking child.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to be a threat to Megan, because I'm not going to be attacking the person she's trying to protect. However, if I ended up in like Gemma's situation where it's like, well, you're in the way of me looking after this child. Mm-hmm. But then, as you say, I would just get to the point where I would just fucking... Again, I'd aim for the head very much like a zombie, or aim for the stomach, because I don't really know, as you say, like where the circuit board would be. But just anything electrical, I'd start fucking stabbing. And
I think if you farted, that probably wouldn't help.
Yeah, because it wouldn't really help the situation. But it probably would be that. I'd probably be like a screwdriver in the ear. Like I'd be trying to get to wherever I thought like circuit board was.
Yeah.
So I'd want to think I'd put up a bloody good fight at the end and just keep going for it. I like the sort of like look at this pen trick. The only problem was she tried that like twice, and obviously Megan learned. So I would try some of that, and then if I could get her to turn off, fucking kill the shit out of her. But yeah, so I'm gonna say yes.
Fuck yeah. Okay. So what are we giving Megan Spooks Out of 5? And what is your favorite spook? Tell, I will come to you first.
The only option, I will come to you first.
Yes.
I'm assuming what's going to be yours as well, but I'm going first. It's got to be the running. It's got to be that run, and it's got to be biting the fucking ear. That's got to be, like, my favourite, like, creepy theme. Because as well, I think there's a thing in horror. Like, there's always a dog that dies, but as soon as you kill a kid, like, it's so much worse. We've said this before in some films, like, you can't kill a child. And if you do, you've got to have a fucking good reason to do it. So obviously they made sure the kid was a dickhead. But that doesn't stop that scene, and the fact as well, that's her first... Does she kill the kid before the neighbour? Yeah, she does.
Mm.
That's the first time we know she'll go that far.
Yeah.
And she's obviously killed a dog, but the dog attacked her, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's the first time we see that level. And then, I'm going to give this... I'm going to give it a 4, I think. I actually really enjoyed it. As you say, it's like a bit of a pizza party film. I feel like I've kind of, like, Rotten Tomatoes and that. It wasn't scoring as high. which I think, yeah, it's like missing out because it's so much fun. It's just fun.
Wow, I thought it would score like quite high.
I'm saying this now. Well, it's got like a 6.4 out of 10 on IMDb. But to me, that's kind of like average. That's not high.
It's got 93% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, okay. Well, it just depends where you're looking then. What's your spook and your spook out of five?
So I was going to say The Running, but I think I'm going to go with The Dancing because it literally is my favourite bit. And it's not, I mean, it's more my favourite bit than it is a spook because obviously The Running is a lot more creepier. But I'm going to break the rules a bit just because I just love how like out of the blue and like weird that dancing is.
Yeah.
That whole scene, even the song, like it just goes so well with it all.
Yeah, no,
so.
It does.
Yeah. I'm going to give that, I think. And I'm going to give this a 3.5. I was debating a 4, but I thought maybe after a couple more watches, it might like reach up to a 4.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would definitely, it's definitely one that I would watch again. It would be really fun to like watch with friends, with a couple of beers, a couple of pizzas. Like that's kind of how it should be watched.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
You could do like a Megan drinking game. Like you could get fully into it. So,
and then
by
the time you get to the dance, you'll all be drunk enough to join in.
Exactly.
Amazing. That was Megan with me and Katie. Hopefully Charlie will be able to join us next week. But if not, we shall see. We're all busy. We have lives. We have full-time jobs around this as well. So thank you for your patience. But check us out on all the socials to see what we'll be doing next time. Until then, bye.
Bye.
Don't die.
Don't die. Oh my God.
We cannot think it for the life of us. Ah, we're sorry. Charlie, again, we're sorry we tried.